we thank you tonight that we can open our hearts and our minds, Lord, right now, to be changed by you, Lord. Lord, we don't understand the mystery of the gospel fully, Lord, and it's just so amazing, God. It blows us away, Lord, but tonight we thank you that you want to impart into our hearts and our minds tonight something of your greatness, Lord. Thank you that we can be changed. We can leave here, Lord, tonight different. So we open our hearts to have you change us tonight by your word, by your spirit. Holy Spirit, we welcome you as the teacher here tonight. We welcome you as the one who comforts us, who guides us, who leads us into all truth. And we just surrender ourselves to you tonight, Jesus. Thank you for what you have for us. You're a good and a perfect Father. Lord, I just surrender myself to you tonight, Lord. I thank you that, Lord, the thoughts of my heart and the meditations of my mouth, Lord, may be pleasing in your sight tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. And all God's people say, amen. You may take your seats. It's so wonderful to have you. Who the first years? Can I see you? Raise your hands. Let's welcome them again to Shofar. So great to have you. Can I just see, are there any visitors that didn't get a welcome pack? So many of you came in. I think the ushers were running around. Is there anyone that didn't receive a welcome pack, a new visitor that you're visiting us for the first time? Please just raise your hand. They would love to still come and give you a welcome pack. Did everyone receive one? Don't be shy. There's a surprise in there. It's not a sweetie. It's a card that you can fill your name in, please. The first time visitors tonight, the guests, you're our guests. I want to say you're our guests tonight. We really would love to get to know you. So please don't see that card as more admin. I know you've had a lot of admin to do this week. First years, you're like, moeg van forums invul, nee? Of het jy forums ingevul, maar dis nie nog 'n forum nie. It's just a, we'd really love to get to know you. So please feel so welcome here this evening. It's wonderful to see young people passionate for Jesus. Amen. Amen. Wie is Afrikaans hierso? Ek kan ook Afrikaans praat. Okay. In my first year at university, I did first language Afrikaans at school. I am English. Some people say they can't believe I'm actually English because I speak Afrikaans with an Afrikaans accent. But anyway, so in my first year, my roommate came from a town, Alexandria, in the Eastern Cape, and he could not speak English, you know, the delicious way. He spoke English like very deliciously. And so he wanted to practice his English on me. And I just said to him, luister Stein, ek dink ons moet eerder Afrikaans praat, ek verstaan jou nie. No, so kom ons hou dit Afrikaans. So the poor guy couldn't practice his English and I got to practice my Afrikaans. So praise the Lord for roommates in first year. Amen. So wonderful to have you guys this evening. My name is Alistair. It's a privilege to be the pastor of Jesus' church. Amen. Jesus is building his church. And you're all part of God's incredible building. I have a passion. I used to love building Legos. Who used to build Legos when you were small? Yes. Did you guys build technical Legos like this, eh? So this weekend I decided to get this. This is like my second most technical. There's still one more. It's a car, an incredible motor car that like has got an engine and it doesn't really go. But so I built this for my son. He's only 5 years old, so this is way too complicated for him. But he just wants to play with the thing, okay? But anyway, so I spent this weekend or Saturday afternoon building this for him, and he's just like, so Daddy, when are we going to be finished with this? And it's quite complicated. It takes about a few hours to build this thing. But when I was building this Lego, I'm just reminded of what God is doing in each of our lives. God is a builder, amen. And you know, if you look at this Lego, there's a detail, like incredible detail here. And God wants to build our lives like this. And God wants us, as we are being built, God wants to use us to build as well, amen. And you know, when you're building this Lego, there's something important that you cannot forget, and that's this book. You know, we're the guys in the house that don't like to follow instructions. You know, we like to think that we know better, and so we build according to our own innovation. And you know, to get to this thing without this is going to take the Holy Spirit, I think, okay? and supernatural. Because you need to follow this instruction. You need to follow this very carefully because it's very detailed. It tells exactly how many parts, where they go. And it just reminded me when I was building this Lego, it reminded me that this is like the Bible. God wants us to follow His instructions. Amen. Wants us to follow His word, and He's got details for our lives. He wants to build our lives according to His detail, and He wants us to build according to His plan and His order. And so tonight I want to focus a little bit on something that's so important when it comes to God's building. And God building our lives and God really seeking us, pursuing us with everything, with His love. I had this impression when we were worshiping now that we must just close our eyes and listen to the knocking. Can you hear the knocking on the door of your heart? God is knocking. Amen. God is knocking on our hearts every day. He's knocking on the doors of our hearts. He wants us to open up more. Open up more. Open up more. So I want to talk tonight about something that I really believe is so important when it comes to God's building in our lives. Just as that instruction has got a specific order to follow, I think it's so important that we follow God's order in our lives. Amen. It's important not to skip a step when we're following God. Anyone heard of the term entropy? We're all the, you guys have just, some of you, you know what's scary tonight is that you guys, when I was in first year, some of you guys weren't even born, okay? But you know what, it doesn't scare me. I stay young. You know, when you minister to young people, it's just amazing. You feel like you were 25 and you're still 25 and you never passed 25. But when some of you guys were, when I was first year, some of you guys weren't, you were a thought, okay? In your mom and dad's minds. Maybe not even yet. But I want to ask you this. Have any of you heard of the term entropy? We're all the science people in the house. Anyone excited about science? Thermodynamics, all these things. Some of you did it in matric. Who did science in matric? Some of you, sure. We've got creative people, arty people, yeah. They left science and technology. But entropy, for those of you who don't know, entropy is the measure of the disorder in any system. The disorder or randomness in any system. It's called entropy. Okay, and I don't want to go into too much detail of that, but the second law of thermodynamics states that the entropy of the universe, the whole universe's entropy is getting bigger and bigger. The entropy tends towards a maximum, okay? Ian, yes, work a scientist, you agree with me? In other words, the universe is getting more and more chaotic. It's getting more and more disorderly. And I think we can see it in the world we live in. It's a sinful world. It's a fallen world. So the world is getting more and more chaotic, okay? And just look at what happened last year on campuses all over the world, not the South Africa. What's happening on campuses, yeah, is not South African. It's all over. Look at what's happening in the world. There's just more and more chaos. There's more and more disorder. In fact, even in this room, the fact that we walked into this room now, we just caused more chaos because we kicked up more dust and the floor is more dirty than when we first came in here. Students, do you guys clean your rooms? You know, if you don't clean your room after a couple of days, it gets more and more chaotic. And eventually, if you don't intervene and clean your room, you know, it's going to be so chaotic that eventually it'll be very difficult to clean your room because your room will just be full. You'll probably sleep on the floor because all the stuff's on your bed. And, you know, we have to keep maintaining stuff. We have to keep cleaning our rooms because things are just getting out of order naturally. That seems to be the natural process, is disorder and chaos in the world. But let's look at our own lives. Let's look at, go a little bit deeper and look at our own lives and look at the chaos that will reign and that will grow more and more if we don't allow someone to come and bring order. Isn't that so? So I believe God just wants to come and just shine his magnifying glass on our lives this evening and just to look at his order in our lives and maybe the lack of order in our lives. All of you know that we consist of three parts, body, soul, spirit. Bodies, I think our body is the least important of the three. Wouldn't you agree? Okay, some people don't think that. They think their body is like, you know, beach bodies. And, you know, we've come from summer or summer's here. And so our bodies seem to be quite important for some of us. But I think out of the three, your body is the least important. And I'm not saying you mustn't look after your body. I think it's important to look after your body, to exercise. The Bible says exercise is good. Amen. But godliness profits all things. Godliness has profit for all things. Exercise does have some value. I think the body is the least important because it's passing away anyway. And then I think the spirit is the most important. Your spirit is the most important because if you're not born again, if you're not sure that you're going to heaven one day, you're in trouble. Your spirit is still dead. You cannot connect with God. So your spirit is most important. And maybe tonight you're here and your spirit hasn't been born again, then it's going to be difficult for God to work with you. Okay? In fact, He will still work with you and He will get to you until He can get you to be to a place where you give your life to Him, you start to follow Him, and then He can really work in your life. So your spirit is most important, and I believe tonight God wants some spirits to be made alive to God. Because your spirit is alive, it's just alive to the world. It hasn't been made alive to God. But I believe what God really wants to work with us tonight is that area which is called the soul. That's the area where God wants to bring His order into our lives. Because your spirit, He brings order one time. Makes you born again. You're a new creation. Your spirit is alive to God. And then He can start to work with what's called your soul. It's called the process of salvation. The process of sanctification. Becoming like Christ. Your soul consists of your intellect, your will, your thoughts, your desires, your emotions. And this is what needs to be renewed day by day, the Bible says. So I believe God wants our souls to come into alignment and into order with Him and with His will. Philippians 2 says the following. Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, so now, not only as in my presence, but much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. It's so important that we work out our salvation, that we realize it's our responsibility to allow God into our lives, to bring order. Because we cannot save ourselves. It's not trying to say that you must save yourself. It's trying to say that you must allow God to do what verse 13 says, for it is God who works in you, both to will and to work for His good pleasure. Anyone want to do the will of God in the house tonight? I think we all have a desire in us to do the will of God, to please God, to live a life that God is glorified. And that's why you're here tonight. But maybe you just don't know what God is saying to you tonight. Maybe you're just not sure, but you have a true desire to please God. I believe that you're here tonight. Or maybe you've been invited tonight. I want to say welcome. If you've been invited, if you've been dragged, I want to say, please just stay. Just give me a few more minutes, okay? Don't run out now. Anyone been dragged to church tonight? Okay, you're gonna embarrass the person who dragged you, so don't show me any hands. But maybe you were invited tonight and God wants to speak to you tonight. God wants to knock at the door. In fact, He's knocking at your heart. And He gives us the opportunity to open up. And so if salvation is this process that we talk about, why is order so important, would you say? Why is God's order so important? Because if you skip a step in any process, you know what happens? If it's a chemical process, boom, that's the end of the process and the end of you. Okay? Perfect timing. Perfect timing. You see what happens when you skip steps? If you skip a step in a building process, you're not going to have the house that you wanted to have, okay? Unless you rectify it in time. And so it's important if God wants to work with us and this process of salvation is continuing in our lives, then why is it important not to skip a step? And God wants to establish His order in our thoughts and our decisions and our words and our actions. I really believe He wants to do that. And I believe if He does that this year and you start off aligned with God and in line with what God's plan is for your life, you know what? You're gonna be blessed this year. Amen. It's not like your life is gonna be trouble free. You're just gonna be blessed because God is gonna give you the ability to take on any challenge that comes your way. First years, it's challenging to start varsity. But with God and with Jesus Christ, you're gonna flourish. Let's just look at Genesis 1 for a moment. Who is God? I think it's important to look right at the beginning, because this tells us a lot about God. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. In the beginning, God. You can just stop there. In the beginning, God. God is the God of order. God is first. Amen. In the beginning, God was there. And that's all that we need to know. God was there. But God was not only there. God did something. He created the heavens and the earth. But what was the earth like before God came on the scene? Anyone know? The answer is in the Bible. It says the earth was a bit of a mess, without form. It was void. There was just nothing. It was dark. It sounds like some lives, isn't it? So it sounds like some people's lives are like that, without form, void, just darkness, no purpose, no life, until God comes on the scene. The Spirit of God was hovering over the face of this darkness. God said, let there be light. And guess what? There was light. Isn't that amazing? This is the God we serve. He's a God of order. He's a God who brings not only order, but he comes to our chaos. He comes to our disorder. And we can read the rest of the passage. What did God do? He made light. He divided the light from the darkness. He separated the water from the sky, or the sea from the sky. He made land and made the animals, and he made us the pinnacle of his creation, mankind. You see, the left brainers among us tend to think that, you know, when we talk about order, then there's not much room for creativity, you know. Order, like, must be spreadsheet, you know. Figures must work, and the accountants among us, the engineers, things balance. That's order. There's no creativity. And then the right brainers among us think that, no, let's talk about creativity, and let's actually make it so chaotic that it looks creative. And they think when it comes to creativity, then there's no place for order. You know, order is like boxing me in. Isn't that so? Some of us think like that. So some of us are on like my side of the scale. I'm like left brainer. Not too creative. That's why engineering was a challenge for me. I'm an engineer. But, you know, engineers are actually creative people. They're not so, you know, I should have studied accounting. But praise the Lord, I'm in the ministry. Hallelujah. And then you get the other people that just want to be out there, and the less order, the better. Okay? But that isn't who God is. Not in any of the extremes. God is in the middle. God is a creator God. And in the midst of his order, he creates. And in the midst of his creativity, he brings order. Isn't that an amazing thing? The God that we serve, it's a mystery. Because we tend to go from one extreme to the other. But God is both. God is both an incredibly creative God, but he's a God of order. Am I shaking some boxes yet tonight? I hope so, by the Spirit. But you see, God is not only a God of order, but he's a God who creates order out of chaos. And you know what tonight the good news is? That he can make anything from nothing. And he can make the impossible possible. Turn to someone next to you and say, God can make the impossible possible in your life. Maybe some of you are sitting with some impossible situations right now. You look at this week that lies ahead, or you look at the week past, and it just looks like mountain upon mountain. You know what? There's a God who can make the impossible possible if we'll just follow his instructions, follow his steps, follow his order. Amen. Not only is he God of order, but he's a God of Psalm 147. The Lord builds up Jerusalem. The Lord gathers the scattered people of Israel. The Lord heals those who have broken hearts. The Lord takes care of every wound. God is drawn to our chaos because, wow, we live in a world of chaos. We live in a world of disorder. It's happened since the fall, and it just continued. And God's story has been that he's pursued us with his love, as we heard earlier. He's pursued us with his love. He's into restoring his people. Amen. So I don't know where you're sitting this evening. Maybe you've broken down. Maybe your Jerusalem, your life is in need of a bit of building up. Maybe you've been scattered. Maybe you've really been hurt and your heart is broken. Maybe you just have some wounds that need to be patched up. But this is the God who wants to change this in our lives. He wants to build up. He wants to gather. He wants to heal. He wants to take care of us, to shepherd us. This week I was sent an email by the Christian Police Association, the CPA. They're here in Bloemfontein. The head office is in Bloemfontein. And in this newsletter was a story that I read, and it really struck me. I read it a couple of times because the Lord started to speak to me as I read this short testimony. It's not really a testimony. It's just someone just writing a little bit about their life. So I want you to listen to this and just ask yourself, what is really happening in this life? Because when you read it first, you think, sure, this life is like, I want to be like this. And you read it again, you think, what is really going on here? So listen to this. So this guy's in the police. He's in South Africa here. I won't say where he lives. It's not here in Bloemfontein. It doesn't really matter. But he writes the following, and he says, I am a soldier in the army of God. The Lord Jesus Christ is my commanding officer. The Holy Bible is my code of conduct. Faith, prayer, and the word are my weapons of warfare. I have been taught by the Holy Spirit, trained by experience, tried by adversity, and tested by fire. Well written. Sounds like he knows what he's talking about. And then he goes on, he says, I am a soldier. I am not a baby. I do not need to be pampered, petted, primed up, pumped up, picked up, or pepped up. It's quite good with the alliteration. He says, I'm a soldier. No one has to call me, remind me, write me, visit me, entice me, or lure me. I'm a soldier. I'm not a wimp. I'm in place, saluting my king, obeying his orders, praising his name, and building his kingdom. No one has to send me flowers, gifts, food, cards, candy, or give me handouts. I do not need to be, and here come the C's now, I do not need to be cuddled, cradled, cared for, or catered to. It's quite good with these alliterations here. I am committed. I cannot have my feelings hurt bad enough to turn me around. I cannot be discouraged enough to turn me aside, and I cannot lose enough to cause me to quit. I know I'm throwing this out on you, but you know, when I read this over and over again, I just thought, you know, this looks like the type of soldier that I want to be. But when I looked deeper into this, I thought, this is a guy who's taken a few shots in life. Amen. And he loves Jesus, and he wants to follow Jesus. And he says, yes, here I am. I'm saluting for duty. But it's almost like he's close to the hurts that he has been dealt and the blows that he has been dealt because of just the chaos that reigns in life and the chaos that's in his own life. So I don't know, maybe some of us are at this place where we sort of say, you know, I'm a soldier and I don't need anyone else. I don't need people to cuddle me and to hug me and to encourage me. I don't need anyone. I'm just a soldier of God. And I think it's sad. I think it's, on the one hand, it's a great testimony. I don't want to knock the guy. I just saw something here which many of us as Christians walk around with. We want to be a soldier for God, but yet we are so wounded. Amen. And we don't need the body of Christ. We don't need anyone because we've got Jesus. And it's not really true. Because all of us need each other. But it's just the product of chaos in the world. And obviously this man's seen a few things. And he's got a heart that is after God, but the heart that is broken. And unless he allows God to really come in and heal him, then he will write like this all the time. And he will just want to die a hard man, a tough guy. I don't think God wants us to live like that. I don't think God wants us to be a tough guy. He wants us to have life. He wants us to testify of how he's healed us and restored us. So where does God want to bring order? God wants to bring order in certain areas. And I've just listed four areas here, which I just want to go through quickly because maybe you can identify with some of them. Where God wants to bring order, and tonight he wants to help you to make sure you bring order in this area of your life. The first is found in 1 Corinthians 11. But I want you to know, Paul writes, that the head of every man is Christ, the head of woman is man, the head of Christ is God. Now imagine if that was the only scripture you knew, and you quoted that scripture. I think you'd confuse people. People wouldn't understand What are you really talking about? And it would look very legalistic. But I want to say this evening, one area where most of us get hurt and most of us need God's order to come and reign in our lives is that of families, because all of us are born into a family. Amen. Even if you didn't have parents, you were born into some kind of a family. If it wasn't your real mom and dad, then there was a mom and dad assigned to you. And the chances are that you can easily or could have or would have got hurt by them. And so where chaos in this life reigns even more, and where the devil has brought chaos and disorder, is in the area of family. Why? Because we haven't followed God's order. God, Jesus, husband, wife. I'm talking here about husbands and wives, okay? Women, you don't have to submit to any other man, okay? Just your husband one day. Don't let any guy tell you to submit to him. He's definitely not your husband. If he says that. See, every one of us has had the opportunity to get hurt in a family somewhere. And I believe God wants to restore order in families, starting off with. Colossians 3 gives us very specific instructions as to what families, how families must operate. It says, wives, submit to your husbands as is fitting in the Lord. Okay? Husbands, love your wives and do not be harsh with them. So it tells wives how to submit as is fitting, as unto the Lord. Submit to your husband like you do to Christ. Okay, I'm not talking, I know there's not many married people in here. I'm just trying to show you what God's order is. And then husbands, love your wives. Do not be harsh with them. I'm talking to potential, or not potential, future wives and future husbands here this evening. But I know you guys don't have a clue of what submission and love is, because I didn't either until I got married. Someone could preach to me, and until you get married and you have to practice it, that's when you start to learn it. But just know, this is what God's order is. But how many times in families now, nowadays families consist of two fathers or two mothers, isn't it so? Husbands can, guys can marry guys and women can marry women these days. And so poor children have got two dads or two moms, or the dad is a woman and the mom is a guy. I don't know. It's weird. It's weird what the world has allowed, because the world is not following the instructions of God. A husband and a wife. And then the children follow. It says, children, obey your parents in everything. So I'm speaking to some children here tonight. Amen. Because you guys are not out of the house yet. Okay, you are sort of. But we've still got to obey our parents. Okay, when do you not become a child anymore? Or when do you not have to obey your parents in everything? I don't know when it is. I think it's when you get married. Then you start a new family. But up until now, obey your parents. And this obviously means not in everything, in ungodly stuff. Don't obey your parents if they tell you to do ungodly things. But Paul is writing to believers here, and he's assuming that all families are believers, and so they should be teaching godly stuff. So children, obey your parents, honor your parents. That's what we have to do as children. You guys have to do as children. As parents, there's other roles. And it says, fathers, don't provoke your children, lest they become discouraged. What I want to say here tonight is that God has a role for each person. And when we don't play this role, chaos happens. Amen. And who gets hurt? People get hurt. The children get hurt in families. So maybe tonight you've been hurt in your own family, and God wants to bring order into that area where you need to forgive your parents or repent of your own disobedience, your own rebellion in terms of your family. Because you know what will happen? It will just perpetuate. If you don't deal with it, you know what happens? We walk away from our families, and then what do? We come into a church family or a spiritual family, and then you know what? There's a dad and a mom. There's a brother and a sister. In fact, lots of them in this family. And then the hurts come up again, and we misunderstand each other, and we refer back to our bad experiences. And so chaos ensues, and if God does not intervene and Christ does not intervene in our lives, you know what? The chaos will just get more and more. Why? Because of entropy of the world. It's getting worse. Chaos is increasing. So maybe tonight you've got to forgive or repent. I want to say, do it. If Christ is laying that on your heart, if there's hurt in your family, don't let your kids struggle with the same stuff. Deal with it. And having kids myself, I've realized some things are just passed down. You know, unless we deal with it, we do exactly the same as our parents did. And there's some good stuff. It's God's design that we pass stuff down. But he doesn't want us to pass ungodliness down. He doesn't want us to pass rebellion or lack of submission or lack of love. Because if you are a daughter and you've seen a mother that's been unsubmissive towards your dad, you know what? You'll probably also be unsubmissive to your husband. Or if you're a man here this evening and you see your dad just was so harsh with your mother and he just was domineering or whatever, then you're probably going to do that unless Christ comes to intervene. Amen. God's order in families. And then the second one, God's order in leadership. I think this is so important because all of us are leaders. If we know Christ, we're a leader. Amen. You're going to lead someone else to Christ. You can if you know him. So you're a leader and you need to understand what leadership is. Because leadership is, in God's eyes, totally different from the world. In fact, it's the exact opposite. Luke 22, Jesus told the disciples, in this world the kings and great men lord it over their people, yet they are called friends of the people. How much of this type of leadership do we see in the world today? People being in positions of authority and they're there and they're just lording it over the people. People have to submit. People have to do as they want and they don't really care about the people. Jesus said, among you it's going to be different because those who are the greatest among you should take the lowest rank. Talking about order again. Rank. It's order. If you want to be a leader, you need to be like a servant. Who is more important, the one who sits at the table or the one who serves? Obviously, the one who sits at the table, surely. That's the guest. That's the guy that we must look up to, we must honor. No, no, no. In the kingdom of God, it's not about the one who's sitting at the table. It's about the one who's serving. For I'm among you, Jesus said, as one who serves. The Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life. So for when it comes to leadership, because I know all of you, I believe all of you have been called to lead some way. Whether it's one person, you're a leader. If you're leading one person, then you're a leader. And so how must we lead? We must learn how to serve. Amen. So I want to put it out to you this year. This year we've got opportunities in our church to serve. There's lots of areas to serve. And in fact, there's lots of areas in life to serve. Make someone else a cup of coffee. That is serving. I remember at work when I used to, you know, when God started to work these things in my heart and just said to me, you know, I've been called to serve. Then I started to seek opportunities at my workplace to make people coffee. And it was such a blessing to just see someone else is, yo, this is amazing. Like, I thought we all made our own coffee. Yeah? No, no. I just do it differently. Then you can just testify of how Jesus is your example and you're just following Jesus. But there's incredible chaos in the world today. Why? Because of chaotic leadership. Because leaders don't serve. Leaders are there for themselves and they're not there for the people. There's a saying that goes that, you know, people don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. So I'm just telling you, as someone who's learning this, I'm learning this to really care for people, to really love people like Jesus loves them, to serve people. God's order in leadership. Romans 12 verse 3. I need to be a bit quick. We're almost done. For by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think. I want to ask you this evening, how do you think about yourself? Just think for a moment of how you think. How do you think about yourself? The Bible says we must think with sober judgment, each one according to a measure of faith. And it's the same with the earlier argument. You know, there's always two extremes in life. Some of us think too little of ourselves. We don't think we're good enough. We think we actually will never make it. We think we useless. And so what? That leads to insecurity. It leads to depression. It leads to worthlessness and no purpose. Then on the other side, there's people who think too much of themselves. And so they become arrogant and proud. And you know, I'm so great and I'm awesome and I can do anything. And the Bible specifically says to people like that, don't think too highly of yourself, but think highly enough of yourself. Think soberly. Think how God thinks about you. You're worth something, but you're not that great. Amen. So for some of us, we must think a little bit less of ourselves because we are not the coolest dude in town, okay? Jy is nie die man in die kosses wat jy is die man, nee. You great, eh? It's wonderful, you know, when you come into first year, you get broken down a little bit, eh? Isn't that so? Enige iemand voel 'n bietjie afgebreek nou dat jy eerste jaar is. Wees eerlik, jy was hoofseun en jy was, you know, you were the man and the woman of the hour in your matric year, and now jy is nou weer onder, eh? It's actually not bad, you know. It teaches us humility. But scripture says that we need to be renewed in our minds. Guess what the scripture just before that talks about? Romans 12:2. Don't be conformed to the things of this world, but be transformed. Renew your mind. It talks about God's order. God wants to bring order into how we think. And the scripture after that, what does it talk about? Go read Romans 12, the gifts and the calling of God upon your life. So if you're not going to think properly about who you are, you know what? You're going to miss your calling. You're either going to miss your calling if you're insecure, you're just never going to do your calling. Or you're going to mess up your calling because you're going to think you're so great, you're greater than you actually are, and you're going to mess up the incredible gift and the calling of God on your life. So would you say it's important to think soberly about yourself? God's order in your self-image is so important. I believe God wants to restore that. If you've thought too little of yourself, if you think you're worthless, God wants to tell you tonight you're worth something, and He wants to use you this year. Amen? Can I have an amen first years? God wants to use you. Doesn't want to wait for fourth year or fifth year when you're working one day. He wants to use you now, because I can tell you, if you don't allow God to use you in your varsity days, it's going to be difficult to let God use you in your workplace. It's easy. Students, I want to say this now. It's easy to let God use you. You're connected with so many people. Amen. And guess what our calling is? To use our gifts to get people to the cross of Christ, to get people to Jesus. If we're not making disciples, if we're not leading people closer to Christ, we're definitely missing it. Galatians 2:20, I've been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. Paul writes and he says, this is the order that he has embraced. This is the order of God for all believers, in fact. The life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. I want to say tonight that, you know what, you're not first, you're not king. There's a bit of bad news with the good news tonight, that you're not king of your life. You shouldn't be. As a Christian, as a believer, you should be not even second just behind Jesus. Sometimes we think we like second just behind Jesus, you know. You know what this scripture is saying? That we are actually lost. You know what God's order is? First God, second other people, third and last a believer. Amen. I know you're not getting excited because this is not the popular gospel. This is not, ooh, Jesus, come and serve me. Come and use my life. Jesus, come and use me to change the world. Jesus, just come and serve me. Jesus, come and build my life. Jesus. This is not the gospel that is popular. But it's the gospel. I've been crucified with Christ. Amen. It's no longer I who live, but it's Christ who lives through me. So let Christ become first, and let other people become second, and let you, the big I, last on the list. Amen. This is not easy, because it's not just going to happen like this. It's a process. It's a process of allowing God to order your life, God to come in, bring His divine order into your life. You see, apart from the creation at the beginning of the world, apart from the incredible intervention where God came and hovered over the waters and created this amazing creation out of nothing and out of chaos, I think apart from that, the greatest ordering that has ever taken place in history can be shown in a picture. I want you to look at that picture. That for me is a picture of order. Amen. Where there's a vertical beam of wood and a horizontal beam of wood depicting our relationship with God. It reaches up to heaven, and the horizontal one, relationship with one another. That's, and on this cross, the Son of God, God Himself, becomes chaos. He's beaten and bruised and broken. His body doesn't look very ordered there. It looks pretty chaotic. Blood talks about chaos. Gave up his spirit. Gave up his life. That we can have order in our lives. Amen. The gospel is just amazing. The gospel is the power of God unto salvation. The gospel is the good news for us tonight. Jesus did this so that our lives could have order. I want the band to come forward this evening. See, a life without God's order is chaotic. And according to the second law of thermodynamics, just as the whole world is getting less and less ordered, more disorderly, you know what? Our lives will get more and more disordered unless there's intervention. A life with God's order is blessed. Psalm 37:23. I haven't got it up there, but it says that the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. And you know what? The Lord delights in him. The Lord delights in the man whose steps are ordered and who lives a life free of chaos. Not a perfect life. We're still going to have stuff. We're still going to have issues. But I want to say tonight that I believe God wants to intervene in our lives. Jesus Christ wants to come and intervene. You know what? Because time is not going to heal. Amen. Time is not going to make things better. If there's chaos in your life, and I'm not talking about hectic chaos. I'm talking about chaos in your heart and in your mind, in your thinking. If there's a lack of order, you know what? It's not going to get better. Just if you've got relational breakdown, if you're struggling with relationships, you're struggling with whatever it is, your own thoughts, you know what? It's not going to just get better. I've seen it in my own life. It just gets worse unless we allow intervention, unless we allow the order of God, which that speaks of. Christ coming to this earth, intervening in the chaos of this world and saying, you know what? This order starts now. The chaos stops for those who follow me. Isaiah 9 verse 6, talking about the Prince of Peace coming and the government being upon his shoulder. Some of you know that scripture. It says there that Jesus came to establish a kingdom and to order it. New King James talks about he came to order his kingdom, to establish and to order his kingdom. You know where that kingdom starts? It starts in your heart. Right there where you are, sitting, contemplating the incredible greatness of the gospel. Let's close our eyes tonight and pray. Jesus, I want to thank you tonight that you came to intervene, Lord. Thank you for the mystery of the gospel. Thank you, Lord, that you stretch out your arms and allow the nails to pierce your hands and your feet. You bled and you died and you became absolute chaos, Lord, so that we can have order in our lives. That we can have healing, Lord. That we can have our priorities right, Lord. Lord, where we can think soberly about ourselves. Lord, where we can forgive, Lord, and repent where we have missed it. That we can, Father, crucify ourselves. And allow ourselves to be crucified, just like you, Jesus. We thank you tonight that you give us the opportunity to make a choice, Lord, that the order in our lives is that you are far above everything else, Lord Jesus. Your first priority. And Lord, your people, God, the lost out there, so many others that are struggling and broken, Lord, they are also our priority, Lord. They are almost more important than we are, Lord. We want to be the least today, Lord, that you can become great in our lives. We thank you for bringing order right now, Lord, to our hurts, Lord, to our bad thinking. Thank you for your incredible love and your safety, Lord, that in your presence there's joy as we give up our lives, Lord. Because, Lord, you say there'll be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 who don't need to repent. And tonight, Lord, we realize we need to come to you, Jesus. We need to come to the cross.